you afraid are the ones that are afraid, and you have to question why they are doing that.
Gotta find out why.
Always question why.
Always why.
We'll be back with more why. We'll be back with more show. Morning show. Come back on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. One day until the election, and Donald Trump is set to rally supporters in Raleigh, North Carolina next hour.
I think that he has better immigration laws. I think that our economy was much better, you know, than it has been right now under the Biden administration.
This registered Republican says she'll be voting Democratic.
I did a lot of Democrats versus Republican, and I actually voted for a lot of women as well, because I feel like maybe we need to make some changes.
Kamala Harris will visit five cities in Pennsylvania today. The man behind the best-selling album of all time has died. Quincy Jones produced Michael Jackson's massive hit.
The song has to deal with people's ears and hearts and emotions.
He worked with other stars from Ella Fitzgerald to Frank Sinatra. Quincy Jones was 91 years old. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin has been a popular place lately, especially for visiting politicians. Minnesota First Lady Gwen Walls stopped in Wausau on Saturday to thank volunteers for their work to persuade and turn out voters in the final stretch of the campaign. She talked with around 40 people at the Harris-Walls Coordinated Campaign Field Office in Wausau, saying, "It may sound a little cheesy, but this state is starting to feel like home. But everywhere I go, people are fed up with Donald Trump and fired up for a new way forward." This is Mrs. Walls' eighth visit to Wisconsin since Governor Walls joined the ticket. Governor Tim Walls and Mrs. Gwen Walls will tour the state of Wisconsin again on Monday before heading to Michigan. President Donald Trump has claimed there has been a huge increase in terrorists entering the United States in recent years. But is that true? Here's Tricia Young with the facts.
While speaking in Milwaukee, Donald Trump claimed, quote, "We have had more terrorists come to the United States in the last 3 years than in the last 30 years, unquote. No data supports this. Border agent encounters with individuals on the terrorist watch list have only been tracked since 2017. From 2021 to September 2024, there were 382 encounters compared to 11 from 2017 to 2020. However, these individuals were stopped from entering. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Gas prices have fallen 2.8 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state is 2.84 today. This is over 16 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 29 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say no matter who wins the election, gas prices are likely to stay much lower than in previous years. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Cloudy and drizzly with some fog and off and on showers today. Our high 65 this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, maybe even an isolated thundershower. 49 the low. Tomorrow, it is going to be cloudy with rain likely and a high of 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 58.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Got your host, James, here. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Head of production, co-host Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. A lot to do in this 9 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by Tom Heiser with our monthly veterans update in a little bit. We'll get into a little bit of entertainment news. Jobs that no longer exist that we'd be good at. All right. Of that coming up for you. We will get into all of that. But, of course, it is a Monday and a 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. No, wait, why? No. No, it's not Playmakers. What
Playmakers.
Am I
doing?
There we go.
All right. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, November 4th. With Halloween behind us and Thanksgiving coming on fast, I thought it would be a good time to talk about traditional foods.
Ah, so pumpkin pie it is.
No, Seth, she means turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and...
That's pretty good.
actually, boys... I mean a traditional food from my ancestors, from where my father grew up and I spent several years living as well. Pennsylvania.
Oh, so shoe fly pie. All right.
Seth, we're not talking pies today.
How long have the show's been on? We've done like one show on pie.
One pie. Maybe someday.
Yeah. For years, and that's how I do it. Oh, wait. Beth, please, don't tell me we're talking about pig stomach.
Actually, its more traditional name is hogma. Seth, you know this. We've been over this, but we're not talking about that today. However, I do reserve the right to bring that up in a future episode.
Of course.
Today, we're going to tackle Scrapple.
Oh, I thought you hated Scrapple.
Hate is a very strong word, James. I just make it a policy not to eat anything with the word crap in the middle of it.
That's a really good thing.
However, with it being National Scrapple Day on November 9th, later this week, I thought I should reserve judgment until I learned a bit more about it and maybe at least tried it.
Okay, so we're talking about Pennsylvania Dutch cooking. By the way, did you know that Dutch is a misnomer here? It's actually German. The German word for German is Deutsch, so Pennsylvania Dutch community is actually a German community, not a Dutch community. Did you get all that?
Yeah. Thank you, Seth.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay. I didn't know that.
Let's get back to Scrapple.
Okay. Stay on point.
As Seth shared, it's actually a traditional German food, which was brought over by early settlers to Pennsylvania. According to foodrepublic.com, in the 17th and 18th centuries, the southeastern part of Pennsylvania saw an influx of immigrants from Germany and Switzerland, many of whom were attracted to the region in part due to leader William Penn's tolerant religious principles. These newcomers brought their food and recipe knowledge from their country of origin to the New World, including how they processed meats.
So my people weren't the only ones to bring their cooking skills with them across the ocean.
Yeah, that's right. According to tastecooking.com, the product finds its ancestry in Panhas, a German meat pudding consisting of pork odds and ends mixed with buckwheat and spices like sage and savory. When the recipe came to America, the buckwheat was often replaced or supported by cornmeal. It goes on to say, because more than anything, Scrapple is what it sounds like. Scraps. One recipe from 1853 writes that the cook should use pork that will not do for sausage. Sorry. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Such as hearts, livers, kidneys, and random scraps of skin all boiled together, leading many from outside the region to look down at the dish. I can't imagine why.
I know. So the name's kind of fitting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Philadelphia Encyclopedia.org shares, as a rural tradition during hog butchering time, Scrapple dates to the 16th century in Germany, where it was called Panhas, as you said, Panhos, or Panhaus, meaning pan rabbit. While parts of the pig became sausage or bacon, the rest, quote, everything but the oink, end quote, was collected for Scrapple and for black or blood puddings, of which Scrapple is a variant.
Mm.
The German product did not include cornmeal, which was not available in Europe.
So I got to say, this is no joke in eastern Pennsylvania. Because you can go to like any like breakfast restaurant or something, and Scrapple is on the menu. I have not been brave enough to try it yet, and this is coming from me. You know, I'm a pretty adventurous eater, but I'm like, oh no, I don't know, man. I think organ meats might be the the cutoff for me.
If you are ever trying to get me to try this, don't tell me what it is first. Just go ahead. Take a bite. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. This is almost a nightmare to me food-wise. I like my food separated. I'm not an adventurous eater. Reading about Scrapple is just like one of those things. Like, this is what would show up in my nightmares or something. But it is something that is very intriguing to me. And I take a lot of pride in learning about these things. things because it's so I don't know that there is anybody out there outside of people that may have lived through the Great Depression that can truly quite understand what it was like at this time.
Very true. There
are no grocery stores. There is nowhere to go, you know what, I don't like this, or oh, my kid doesn't eat this, so I'm going to go and pick up something else. No, Timmy, eat it. It's all we got.
Right, exactly.
Enjoy the oink. I think that this stuff is cool and interesting, but it's also so vital for us to learn about these things so we have some understanding and some empathy for how you know, the trailblazers that got us here.
Well, and if we think about it, every culture has their delicacies that sound gross to other cultures. Because, you know, some cultures will eat monkey brains. Others eat beef tongue. You know, there are all sorts of things out there. Lutefisk. Still something I'm not brave enough to try.
I don't blame you.
I've only heard horror stories. So what this tells us is that Germans were resourceful and they didn't want to waste any part of the animal. They used everything, literally. Though it has been described as pudding, and its consistency is a lot more dense, more like a stiff meatloaf, so that it can be sliced. Food Republic says... foodrepublic.com says the method of adding meal or flour to it was similar to why meatloaf contains bread or crackers. It stretches the volume of the meat. Producers of scrapple will simmer the pork meat and offal in water until it is very tender. Once done, the rest of the ingredients are mixed along with pork stock to create the mixture. The mixture is then simmered until it's thick, poured into loaf pans for molding, and cooled. The process has a mild resemblance to sausage making, which makes sense, seeing as its pioneers were from the sausage capital of Europe, Germany.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Now, I hadn't heard this except on the National Day calendar until you shared it with us from your background. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a Pennsylvanian food, but where else can you find it?
Well, foodrepublic.com gives us a good idea about where you can have this delicacy. Although it's still primarily associated with Pennsylvania, it can be found in other states and regions along the eastern seaboard with strong German influence, including Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, and Virginia.
I remember seeing it on a menu. I mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. At a restaurant you took me to when we visited Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, just after we were married.
That's right. They offered it as a side for breakfast, which is how it's usually served. But according to foodrepublic.com, in these areas, it's not uncommon to find scrapple in local grocery stores, Amish markets, and butcher shops. It's still a product and sold in loaf form, so it needs to be sliced in individual portions before it's eaten or prepared. Scrapple is especially popular as a breakfast meat. It's pan-fried in butter or oil until crispy and served hot alongside eggs, toast, potatoes, pancakes, or whatever else you eat for breakfast. And speaking of breakfast, the brewers at a Delaware-based Dogfish Head Brewery once created a breakfast stout made with scrapple.
Oh, wow. Oh.
That just goes to prove you can make beer out of anything.
Yes, you really
can. Make beer out of anything. Yeah. You really can.
And if we can, we're going to try. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure out a way or see how it does.
So is this to help get you over a hangover?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have eggs and things like that, why not scrapple, right?
Or
create one. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Love the idea. I feel too good this morning. I'm going to have some scrapple and feel horrible. No, but it's funny because, like you said, you know, like I mentioned that we were at the restaurant, and I think that was the first time you explained to me what scrapple was. Of course, I'd never heard of it. I hadn't spent that much time in eastern Pennsylvania. And it's funny. I mean, you used your joke that you used earlier about it. A real quick question. Have you had scrapple before?
I know, because I know what was in it.
Okay.
So
I'm like James.
I did not, you know, but my brother-in-law, Kerry, loves this stuff. He grew up eating it because he grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So it was not uncommon for him to have that at home in addition to going out to restaurants and having it there. And he loves it.
Hmm. All right.
So, Food Republic does go on to say, still scrapple is appropriate anytime, not just in the morning. Put a couple of fried slices in a sandwich for lunch, flour and deep fried cubes of scrapple, and serve them with dipping sauce as an appetizer, similar to like cheese curds. Mm-hmm. Or break it into chunks and make it a hash, or put it on top of pizza.
Of course.
Similar to the way that bacon or sausage taste great dipped in maple syrup, Scrapple can be served with sweet condiments such as jams, applesauce, and honey. Mm. It also works well with hollandaise sauce, ketchup, and mustard. Scrapple for breakfast pairs well with a hot cup of coffee, but feel free to crack open a cold beer if eating it any other time of day. After all, if it's good enough to go in beer, it surely tastes great alongside it.
Mm. Well, it's got to, you know, the Germans and beer. Everything's got to go with beer, really. Yeah. Yeah.
If one were curious enough to want to try this out, could we find some around here, Beth?
I Google searched it and could not find anything in our particular area, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the German restaurants that we know of, maybe in the Dells or down in Madison, you know, where there's such a good German history in our state, it's probably somewhere around here. I just haven't found it. So if you do, let me know.
Right. Yeah.
But tastingcooking.com says, or tastecooking.com says, outside of the mid-Atlantic, you either have to order it from specialty stores or hope your local butcher decides to experiment. So if you want to try this Penn Dutch staple, you'll have to travel out east or order it online.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There's your choices.
Yeah, try making it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today for The Kitchen's Open. If you'd like to become a sponsor for this segment, contact Pam at our front desk.
We would love to feature your business during this segment. Just call 715-424-1300.
That number is 715-424-1300. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the specifics.
If you have any ideas or have a topic that you'd like discussed, please email me at beth.habhager@civicmediaus. And with that, we will close the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right.
Great episode. Great job.
Oh, wow.
Great work. That's awesome. That's a fun one. Interesting, too.
Fascinating.
Looking forward to another Kitchens Open segment next Monday. Thank you so much, Beth. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Hanging out with us. We'll be back with Tom Heiser in our monthly Veterans Update coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something.
A cheese lover like us, Culver's is the place for you.
I'm Culver's team member Sephora, and I get to celebrate my love of cheese with our guests every day. Whether it's our world-class cheddar, Swiss, or American melted on a butter burger, or the gooey golden goodness of our cheese curds, at Culver's, we treat you to the best real Wisconsin cheese. Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a taste of what we do best.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they-them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
This is Tom Tiffany. Wisconsin families are suffering because of Vice President Harris's open border policies. In Prairie du Chien, an illegal alien assaulted a mother. In Rusk County, a drunk driving illegal alien left three daughters without their father. Yet Democrats in Congress voted against deporting criminals like these. If you want to keep America safe and secure, then vote for Tom Tiffany. Paid for by Tiffany for Wisconsin.
Cloudy and drizzly with some fog and off and on showers today. Our high 65 this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, maybe even an isolated thundershower. 49 the low. Tomorrow, it is going to be cloudy with rain likely and a high of 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Welcome back, everybody. morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We are going to kick things off in this segment right now with our good friend Tom Heiser in our monthly Veterans Update. Tom, we appreciate you joining us once a month in the beginning of the month. Give everybody an update on monthly Veterans Update on what's going on in their area for our vets. Thanks so much for being here with us.
No problem. Thank you very much for inviting me and having me here.
So well, let's go ahead and dive right in, Tom, and kick things off with November 2nd going on today. Oh, I'm sorry. November 5th, 4th, I want to start with, the monthly Veterans Breakfast.
Right. We have the monthly Veterans Breakfast this morning over at DeGrace's. And then on Tuesday the 6th, we have the Allied Veterans Meeting at the VFW at 6 o'clock. That's where the leaders of all the veterans groups get together and discuss what everybody's doing. Then Sunday, November 10th, is Marine Corps birthday. Mm-hmm. You can ask any Marine how old the Marine Corps is, and they can tell you. I've got a very good friend. I asked him when his anniversary date was for his wife, and he couldn't tell me. But they're 249 years old.
Oh, thank you. I was going to ask. Okay.
There you go.
There we go.
And then on Sunday, we have the VFW spaghetti dinner. All you can eat. People with Italian backgrounds should be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Nicely done there. Nicely done. That is going to be great. You guys always do a wonderful job with those.
Yes, we have some very good people working out there. It's $12, all you can eat, spaghetti, meat sauce, Italian bread, butter, salad, dressings, desserts, milk, coffee, and adult beverages if you need them.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot of food for $12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great deal. Right. Yeah.
And then on Monday, November 11th, is Veterans Day Ceremony at Veterans Park at 11 o'clock, annual event. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Legacy Stone Dedication, which is at Assumption High School at 1 o'clock, because mm-hmm. you never know what the weather is going to be like, so
yeah.
They've taken that inside. Tuesday, November 12th, is Auburndale Coffee with Beth. They have a special Veterans Day program up there at Auburndale. Also the 12th, Morning Joe and Dose. Stevens Point, still a goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard good things about that, too, Tom. I've heard some from our listeners that attend that it's a really fun event.
Right. I talked to the lady that runs it. She said it's going very well.
Good.
Nice. Good. Excellent.
And the 13th is the Heroes Cafe. And then on Wednesday, also the 13th, we have a Veterans Benefit Boot Camp at Mid-State. So if a veteran wants to take care of their education, go a little bit further, go out to Mid-State, and that starts at 4 o'clock. Learn about what your benefits are and how to enroll in school.
We're really going to be hitting that hard leading into that, Tom. I want more of these kind of things in our communities for our veterans. We need more of these things for our communities for our veterans. Our veterans have done everything for us. This is one more thing we can do for them. When a vet comes back, my Uncle Tim dealt with this quite a bit. An incredibly intelligent human being. Spent time where he could have been earning a degree fighting for our country. This is an opportunity, you know, and he had a hard time finding work when he got out of the military and everything. It's an opportunity to help our veterans get into the workforce better and smoother transition into that.
I know some universities and schools do give you credit for service. Don't quote me on Mid-State.
No,
don't
but please. No, you're right about that, though.
But it is a possibility. Go out there and see what your benefits could be. And a lot of classes are online.
Yeah.
So it's a good point. Like you right. had to be there physically for so long. Mm-hmm. And also the American Legion Post meets on the 13th. And here's a new one I just got this weekend. On Wednesday, November 13th, it's Honor in the Air Movie. It's mm-hmm. open, free to the public. It's about a gentleman, Scott Elvin from Fort Atkinson, who was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he did a lot of stuff. Distinguished Flying Cross, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, 200-plus air medals.
Wow. That's incredible. Wow. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Yeah. That's incredible.
It's just unbelievable. He came back, got out of the military, killed by a drunk driver at 31 years old. He's buried up in Marathon County. So this is a local, and it's free. Mm-hmm. Open to the public.
It's free.
And
it's at,
oh, that sounds awesome.
Saw it at Alexander Field.
A great place to have it as well, and a great way to honor him, taking this in and learning more about him. And it's a local, again, as Tom mentioned. That this is a local. This is a Wisconsinite, everybody.
Exactly, and I think she would just attend.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
The movie is less than an hour, so you're not going to kill a whole bunch of, and it starts at 7.
Yeah, and they've got a great Facebook page that can keep you up to date on things and everything, encourage you to throw it into your search bar and find out more about that, and be sure to attend, everybody.
Exactly, and then on November 14th, our VBA chapter starts at 5 meeting. The 14th, Rudolph American Legion. And the 21st, Thursday, VFW Post 2534 is meeting. And November 21st, also Grenada campaign ended. Short one.
Yeah.
Let's see. And on the 23rd, United States Coast Guard Women's Reserve was established in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
And No Heroes Cafe the week of Thanksgiving.
Understandable.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Spend time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday the 27th, rekindle the Spirit Parade.
Yeah, excited about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Many veterans show up there at mm-hmm. Boys and Girls Club. And then on Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th,
man,
the VFW is presenting the colors at the Cranberry Classic.
That's so cool.
Where'd the year go?
You're telling me, man. I hear you. I keep forgetting. It's right around the corner. Ah.
And then going a little bit into December, December 7th is Pearl Day celebration out at the VFW post. We are one of the few posts in the state of Wisconsin that still does this. And it's really something to go out there because it's going to be put on. We sponsor it, the Allied Veterans Council, Fleet Reserve, out of Point Branch 238, will be there. And the ceremony will be at the Memorial Hall at VFW at 10 o'clock, food and fellowship at the Elks Club following. So
we're losing more and more of our World War II veterans. We're losing more and more of the people, the historians, if you will, that were around at this time and able to tell you what it was like at this moment. So many people out there are privileged to not understand what it is like for our land to be attacked. But we don't know what that's like. We don't know. It's so important to remember these moments, to remember these things. Knocking on wood, hoping to God nothing like this ever happens again. But in order for that to have happened, this had to happen. And understanding what happened here and understanding all the way this affected us from real people, not just a textbook or something like that. It's important to be able to do these things. And I appreciate the VFW still hosting this, still doing this event.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was very similar, 9/11, how we all felt then.
Yep.
This is
the closest we've had to something like that. Yeah, and whether it is that or this, these are all important dates to remember.
Exactly. And also on December 7th, the Nakusa Christmas Parade at 5.
Yeah.
And then
looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah. And then December 11th, we have the Heroes Cafe again. And also, getting a little bit further down, is on the 13th of December, the VFW Post is sponsoring and holding a flag folding and honors training. Because if you've been to a military funeral, you always see how they fold the flag.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a special way to do that.
Yep.
You
yes.
don't just fold it like a T-shirt.
Right. Huh. That's really interesting. I got to learn more about that. Yep. That is fascinating. Thank you for that, Tom. Thanks for telling us about that.
I learned that in the Boy Scouts. You have to learn how to fold the flag properly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so many.
We did it in school, in grade school.
Oh, really?
Very cool.
Oh, cool.
I never got to do either of those. I got to attend this. I'm very serious right now. I really should. That's really cool. Thank you for that, Tom, for letting us know about this.
No problem. Yeah, you have to fold it a special way so you don't see any red.
Yep.
Okay.
You just see the stars in the blue.
Yep.
Interesting. Huh. Well, it all makes sense. And I know I've seen it a million times. I've been to some military funerals, but I had not seen, I did not know this part of that. I understood a lot of the mechanics of it. I didn't understand all of it. I can't wait to attend this class. That's very cool. It's a really cool idea.
Right. And we opened it up to law enforcement, firefighters, because they do a lot of the same ceremony that we do.
Mm.
And there is a proper way to hold the flag and fold the flag. It's not just zip, zip, zip. It takes time, and we have a few guys that are already trained.
Appreciate you letting us know about this and all of these events, Tom. We will be mentioning these on our morning show and reminding everybody when these things come up and giving people a heads up on them, like you did for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, as always, for joining us. We're looking forward to you joining us again real soon, Tom. Stay in touch. We'll talk. We'll be talking off air quite a bit.
And hey, James, if I can, while Tom is here, plug the new show that we are kicking off the day after Veterans Day, featuring veterans. Community Stories kicks off on November 12th, and we will hear from Gunner, Mike Pohl, who is instrumental in that December 8th honoring day of Pearl Harbor, and then also Daryl Hainline and Tim Helverson will be featured on that very first episode of Community Stories on Tuesday, November 12th at 5 o'clock.
All right.
Tease community stories. It's right there in my notes. Melissa, I'm so sorry our brains are getting connected. I'm so sorry. That's a great note and a great show that's coming up, everybody. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for that to premiere. Be on the lookout for that, and we'll be reminding you of it real soon.
Yes, and a special thanks to you, Tom, for setting up some of these interviews that I got to have with our veterans and to share these wonderful stories because of you, Tom. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You are appreciated, sir. Mm-hmm. You are appreciated. We'll talk again real soon, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much for doing this, and have a good one.
Yeah, if Tom, if people have follow-up questions, I'd like to reach out to you about anything. How can they get a hold of you?
Okay, they can call the VFW post at 715-600-0401 with any questions, and our commander of the VFW, Sean Plant, answers the phone, and he knows more about this stuff than I do.
All right. Appreciate Sean. Appreciate all of you. Thanks again for joining us, Tom. We appreciate the time. We'll be back after our news break here with some entertainment news. We're also going to get into our election coverage a little bit and wrap up with jobs that no longer exist that we might be good at. We might be.
You never know.
We'll be back with that and more on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Facts are important, and Wisconsin's chief election official tried to clear up some of the misinformation that's been spreading during this closely contested election. Here's Lisa Hale.
Megan Wolf, Wisconsin's chief elections official, told reporters in a virtual press call Friday that inaccurate information has been distributed about non-citizen voting in the state.
Let me be clear, under no circumstances are non-citizens allowed to vote in the state of Wisconsin, ever. In order to vote in Wisconsin, voters must certify on their voter registration form that they are a U.S. citizen.
Wolf said every Wisconsin voter has to show an ID, such as a driver's license, passport, military ID, or naturalization documents at the polls to prove legal status and to vote.
We are entering the fourth year of DNR scientists surveying bear dens in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources encourages people to report any black bear den locations to help with the ongoing study. The Black Bear Litter and Diet Survey helps researchers estimate black bear reproductive rates within each bear management zone. They're specifically looking for more dens to survey in central and western Wisconsin. It's important that you do not approach or disturb the dens while trying to report as much information as possible. Researchers are asking for GPS coordinates, photos of the den and surroundings, and any information on bears and their activity near the site. You can report on the DNR website, dnr.wisconsin.gov. Overnight parking restrictions are now in effect in Port Edwards. As of November 1st, no on-street parking is allowed between midnight and 6 a.m. The park restrooms also closed on November 1st, and the last day for leaf pickup will be Friday, November 22nd. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Lions in a game with heavy rain, 24-14 in favor of Detroit. Green Bay receivers dropping several passes. The Packers penalized 10 times for 67 yards. Matt LaFleur.
I was disappointed with the number of penalties and just self-inflicted wounds that we had, and you can't do that against a really good football team.
The Packers now 6-3 heading into the bye. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell at a loss for words after losing to the Iowa Hawkeyes 42-10.
Well, there's not a whole lot that words can say to explain, you know, how I feel. It's just the same kind of thing you said in the locker room. It's really, really tough to put it to words right now. We're going to have to pick ourselves up. We're going to have to move forward, and we're going to have to find a way to make sure we're better.
The Badgers fall to 5-4. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Sal Frelick and second baseman Bryce Terang each named Gold Glove winners. The team declined closer Devin Williams' option for next season, although he remains on the roster for now. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Gelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Cloudy and drizzly with some fog and off and on showers today. Our high 65 this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, maybe even an isolated thundershower. 49 the low. Tomorrow, it is going to be cloudy with rain likely and a high of 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Welcome back, everybody.
Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Just want to touch on a little entertainment news, and then we will get into some other fun. But we do have to start off entertainment talking about, last week we were talking about John Williams a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's unquestionable he is the GOAT. There is no composer that even comes close to his body of work of John Williams. And I feel like you can say that about Quincy Jones as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
As a musical producer, I don't believe that anybody will ever have a career that even comes close to what Quincy Jones accomplished.
Right.
And we lost the GOAT of producers over the weekend. Quincy Jones passed away last night at his home in Bel Air, surrounded by his family. He was 91.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy had spent more than 7 decades in the music industry, and over the course of his amazing career, earned 28 Grammys, 2 honorary Oscars, and an Emmy for Roots. He was also the producer of 1985's charity hit We Are the World, written by Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson. Quincy wrote, orchestrated, and produced a lot of well-known instruments that became theme songs, like Sanford and Son, Ironside. Soul Bossa Nova was used in Austin Powers movies like crazy.
Yes, that was the theme of the movie, right?
Mike Myers actually said, I don't know if we can do this movie without that song, Quincy. Can we please use it? Like,
tell
went
him,
to
yeah.
Quincy for the... produced Thriller, The Wiz, the movie The Color Purple, a little TV show called The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Quincy was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 2013. There is some of the music he created is the best of that particular model that we've ever heard and may never hear again. I genuinely think while Michael Jackson is considered the king of pop, and as talented as he was, don't think it's even half a close to a career without Quincy Jones.
No.
I don't even think he comes even close to the career he had without Quincy Jones.
Thriller doesn't, the album, I mean, Thriller, does not become the phenomenon, one of the best-selling albums of all time, without Quincy Jones, period. It could have sold a lot of records with just Michael working on it, but no, Quincy, he added so much to that record. It's unquestionable.
When we have world disasters now, it is not uncommon to see all three of the major networks and for people to all these celebrities are coming together to raise money for Haiti, to raise money for this
concert and stuff,
kind of things. Mm-hmm. It all started with We Are the World, which all started with Quincy Jones having an idea. Hey, things are bad out there. We need to make them better. How can we unify? How can we bring people together? Like the genius brain of his, and what he accomplished is incredible. And all of this, 7 decades of work, and did it as a black man. Like that can't get lost in the shuffle here or anything. Even by today's standards, that can be difficult. Let alone when he was doing this, people.
Right.
When like that's be so good they can't say no.
be so good that they got to let you in the room. Mm-hmm. That's what Quincy Jones did.
Right. He started his career in the 60s, the early 60s, by producing Leslie Gore, who did, of course, you know, It's My Party, and she had a bunch of, you know, hits, You Don't Own Me, and that kind of stuff. Again, even that early age, you can hear a difference with that music. The sound is different with Quincy Jones, man. He was one of a kind.
Yeah, yeah. The incredible artist. Mm-hmm. Will be missed. Mm-hmm. I did want to mention real quick that your favorite podcast just released a new episode today, What the Muppet. Go ahead and check that out. I encourage everybody downloading the pod and checking it out. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. My oldest Bria has put so much into this, and she's pregnant.
I was going to say, how much longer is she going to be able to do this?
We are going to be taking a hiatus soon. We will be taking a break coming up.
Very much so.
You set me up for that
one. I did.
So I did want to let everybody know that, and just thank everybody for listening to the pod. Mm-hmm. We will be back eventually. We do have a new episode for you today. We're going to have a couple more, but yep, we will be taking a break for a little bit because apparently.
Life, you know.
Yeah, life. That happened. We're looking forward to it, actually. I'm looking forward to our election coverage tomorrow. I did, before we go to our break, our final break of the hour, I did want to touch on that a little bit with you guys and inform the audience of what we'll be doing tomorrow, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be live election coverage beginning at 6. We have an election, I don't know, can you call that a pregame show, James?
Yeah, I guess so. Nicely done. Nicely done, Melissa. Yeah, you can.
No, I'm stretching. I try to throw this out there when I can. It just happens. Mm-hmm. But yes, we will have the pre-show from 6 to 8 p.m. That will be anchored by Jane Matinere and Pete Schwabba, who you hear on our radio dial often. They will be promoting the coverage that we will carry through the night. From 8 to 12, we will have anchors Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow, and they will be discussing the results and reaction as the results start to come in. As we know, it's going to take time.
It will.
For all of the results to be tabulated. Mm-hmm. Some areas, I mean, we are a collaboration of a lot of different states, and every state has their own rules when it comes to how they can count their election results. So the biggest thing we're going to have to do is be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient, because it's going to take a while for these results to come
in.
But all of our news anchors across the Civic Media Network will be participating in election coverage results. Brittany and I are going to be traveling to Green Bay to cover Kristen Lierley's election party. I don't know if you can call it a party, but they were their watch party.
Watch party,
So we will be there covering that and then heading to Appleton with them. We've got other anchors around the state. I know James Kelly in Eau Claire will be at a watch party. I know that Savannah Tomei Olson in Madison, as well as Terry Barr and Catherine Lake, are going to be in different areas in Madison covering there. Mm-hmm. Lisa Hale will be at the Tony Weed watch party in Green Bay. Jimmy Cuska is going to be covering. We're going to be culminating as much information as we can, as quickly as we can, get it out there with on our social media websites. I'll be writing digital articles to get out there as results come in. And we're going to keep going, because I don't know if you guys saw on the email, it says 8 p.m. to midnight ?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it could be a very late night for
the whole staff, right?
So, Melissa, but will be coverage.
Yep,
not,
for sure.
Not to nitpick, but you forgot to mention, I'll be covering second base. I'll be covering, like a good outfielder, I'll be covering the second base like you're supposed to. Now, we appreciate so much all you and this our whole news team and everybody that's been putting into this behind the scenes and building to this moment, to tomorrow, and the work that goes into it. When it comes to results, when it comes to information, first off, we are a trusted source. You can rely on us. We are a bipartisan station. We are a democracy station. We are down the line.
Yep.
When it comes to the results and getting them, let's be patient about this. We understand. We do this every 4 years, people. We understand what this is. We don't get the results immediately, and we shouldn't get them immediately. This should take time.
Be careful.
This should be done patiently.
Right.
This should be done with it, and you should want that. And encourage and be supportive of that. And be supportive of each other. And keep in mind that this is going to involve some anxiety and involve some feelings. So we're going to get into that tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow and talk about, you know, how you can handle that anxiety and all those feelings and stuff. But be good to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And be patient, because there are states, there were attempts in our state to allow election officials to start counting ballots earlier. That was knocked down. So
correct.
We can't get the results any sooner mm-hmm. than the law allows us to count, not us, like me personally, but election officials to start counting the ballots.
Correct.
So it takes time.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate that breakdown. We will take a time out. We'll come back. Jobs that no longer exist that we might be good at. It's coming up.
My next career.
Get ready.
WFHR.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Ready, set, go.
Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Cloudy and drizzly with some fog and off and on showers today. Our high 65 this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, maybe even an isolated thunder shower. 49 the low. Tomorrow, it is going to be cloudy with rain likely and a high of 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Come together, everybody. Let us come together.
I totally didn't understand when I did that in there. I didn't even think about it. Just worked out.
Want to get into this one with Melissa and Seth here. James with you as well. Jobs that no longer exist that we would be good at. It's an interesting list, and we'd love to hear from you on this one, everybody. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Ethicaljobs.com listed a bunch of jobs that used to exist that no longer are, but maybe we'd be good at them. Now, the first one up on the list is quite interesting, and Seth, you have a touch on this one.
I do.
Bowling pin setter.
That is correct.
This was a job that existed for quite some time.
Bowling alleys have been around, of course, for a very long time, but of course, the technology to set the pins has not. My father, as a high school job in his local bowling alley in the little town that he grew up and went to high school at, was a pin setter. That was his high school job, yes. And that's, I mean, it's a pretty dull job when you think about it. You know, you just very repetitive, you know, waiting, putting a pin up all the pins and stuff like that. But he seems to have pretty fond memories of it. So, you know, it wasn't like it was a horrible job, but
there are worse jobs.
Oh, I'm sure. So, especially as a high school, you know, it's pretty simple and you just, you know,
you could get out at the bowling alley.
Exactly. Yeah.
Didn't seem like such a bad gig.
Yeah. No, not really.
How about a human alarm clock? Some form of the alarm clock has been around since 400-ish BC, but the human alarm clock, also known as a knocker-upper, I'm just going to keep moving.
You can't call it that anymore.
Just going to keep on moving here.
That would wake you up.
That was common in Britain and Ireland during the 1920s. It was particularly important during the Industrial Revolution to get factory employees to work on time. So there would literally be usually an older woman with a bit of a sort of megaphone kind of go around the neighborhood and yelling up to the
waking
buildings.
People up. Yeah. That's
a town crier.
That's hilarious.
As it were.
Oh, my gosh.
Mike and the gang from Historic Point Bus, we've talked about this almost every year, ice cutters.
Yep. Especially up around here, yeah.
Yeah, before the invention of the mechanical fridge, we desperately needed these things to keep our food cold.
Because for ice boxes, they were literally cooled by ice. Yep.
How about a pre-radar listener? And I am showing Seth a picture of this right
this
now.
This picture.
And this is wild.
Look it up, everybody. Just pre-radar listener, and just it's this weird contraption. I mean, the guy looks like he's being eaten by this thing. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, yeah.
It's gigantic. Between the world wars, there were a variety of atomic acoustic mirror devices that were used to help armies detect an enemy radar. Mm-hmm. The job of being the quote listener generally became the instant during World War II with the development of the chain home radar system.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, some of these, they look like tubas.
Yeah.
And then they go into, up to a guy's ear. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Crazy. How about you rat lovers out there being a rat catcher? While we're animal lovers here, the job of rat catcher was vital to keeping rat populations under control in Europe to prevent the food damage and the spread of diseases.
See, absolutely.
Isn't that why rat terriers, they were bred to...
Yes. Exactly, to hunt down
rat
rats.
Catchers hunt down rats.
I would have wanted this job, lamplighter. I don't know.
That sounds like a fun job, interesting, yeah.
The only lamplighters today exist purely for tourist purposes, but this was a job back in the 19th century. Night owl lamplighters were responsible for lighting the streets. I'm already up at night. I'd have been perfect.
See, you would have been perfect. Yeah. The old gas lamps, they had to be lit
just
by hand.
Walk around and light them up.
I want that business card, you know, a lamplighter. Yeah. There was, of course, milkmen.
Yeah. There's still a few milkmen around.
Yeah.
Especially in Wisconsin. There's a couple. Yeah.
This is one of the few jobs that we have a little bit of understanding of, I think.
Right.
I think that a job that I also think that we kind of underrate at how difficult it was.
Oh, yes. 100%.
Before us, milkmen hasn't been a common job since the 1970s, though in some places it is seen as a revival.
Mm-hmm.
It has seen a revival in more areas than not.
Well, it's cool because it's not just milk, of course. You could get cheese, eggs. They would sell all kinds of dairy goods and right to your door. Yeah.
Have we replaced a milkman with the Uber driver? Have we?
Is it a modern kind? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Log drivers. Before trucks, logs were transported to the sawmill using the currents of the river and team of men, also known as river pigs. The men guided the logs down the river, ensuring there were no jams along the way. One of the most dangerous jobs in human history.
That had to have been a dangerous job.
The stats show you. It's insane, the stats from this and how dangerous it was. It also seems like one of the cooler jobs ever. Like, if you were good at this and you could pull it off and everything, it paid pretty well. And it was a very, like, a lot of people that are athletes in today's world would have been doing this back then.
Right. Because it was very physically demanding.
Reward.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But take a walk through the Nakusa Cemetery and you'll see the rates of death that happened, especially in our area. And if you want to learn more about the history of it, visit the Alexander House. They have a replica of what those rafts looked like.
Wow. Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
That's interesting.
Really encourage people to look into that history and learn about your history, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, my grandfather was one of those guys that rolled the logs down the river.
Wow.
He didn't know how to swim, but he was, yes, the above the logs.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That really is. Wow.
Remarkable.
Thanks for sharing. Did you hear lots of stories about that then?
My mom told us all kinds of stories about it, right?
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Wow.
That is really interesting. Huh. Thank you for sharing that, sir.
Yeah, that's
cool.
To
you have a good day. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you. Thank you. That's a good call.
Yeah.
A resurrectionist. One of the more gruesome jobs to exist, hired by scientists, resident, or body snatchers, would illegally dig up bodies. But this was a job. Electors were employed in factories by unions or with money pooled by workers, and often read left leaning on union publications to workers. Apparently, it's still in practice in Cuba.
Right, yeah. I think they put the kibosh on the United States.
Yeah.
Gee, I can't imagine why.
Yeah. Now, which any of these jobs or any jobs you guys are thinking of, like that you would like, you'd love to have been able to do, you would have done, or you would have excelled at, you think?
Oh, boy. Mm. I don't know. I think the romanticism of the lamplighter, James, I think that one is pretty cool.
There's something
I like
that
one. There's a job they did not put on that list that I would not want to have done, and that's chimney sweep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a hard job. That was a tough one. Yeah.
That would have been a tough job.
How about leech collector?
Ew.
A leech collector responsible for retrieving the blood-sucking worms from the natural habitat.
For medicinal purposes.
Yep.
I'm guessing
yep.
they were used for doctors.
Just send out the kids.
Yep.
Kids, go romp around
we'll
in that
swamp area.
We'll
give you a nickel a leech,
and
right?
come back, and we'll pop them off.
A hush shopkeeper. During Prohibition in the United States, when it was illegal to buy, sell, or consume alcohol, a hush shopkeeper sold alcohol discreetly to customers they trusted. They got the name from keeping their illegal business secret.
Hush. I love that. That's so cool.
Alchemist shows up on this list, too.
Oh, how about just charlatan? Yeah.
I like that. I like the idea of just being an alchemist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, if you're a mad scientist, I mean, you really don't have to necessarily invent anything. You just try your whole life to build stuff.
Exactly.
I was an alchemist when I was 7.
Nice.
The things that I created in my front yard from, you know, just natural ingredients could have cured you of anything and everything.
Sorcerer!
I was guaranteed. That's what I was going to do.
Burn the witch! No.
food taster. Food taster is certainly on the list.
Man,
that was a big one back in the day.
I know a food taster. I used to know a food taster. Someone who did that.
Had got the dish with poison in it.
Yeah, it was a good gig until it wasn't.
Until that was.
And
how's the retirement plan for that? Nothing.
How about a Billy Boy?
Swift end.
Yeah, they would offer a great retirement plan because nobody's really getting it.
Like, funeral expenses will be taken care of.
And a Billy Boy. Billy Boy was a young person tasked with making tea for people working at the railway yards, blacksmiths, and building sites.
Ooh.
During break times, a Billy Boy who employers generally considered an apprentice might make tea by light a fire and boil water in lightweight cooking pots called Billy cans.
Oh, that's how they got their name. Okay. Mm-hmm. Today, those are known as production assistants.
Yeah, but back then, the smart ones would go around and gather coins from everybody on the work site, run over to the nearest pub, and buy a bottle of cheap rum.
Ooh, that would make him popular. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then he'd skim off what's left and make a little bit of profit.
A little
on
kickback, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We get into our local schedule for our day, and certainly, as we mentioned, we got election coverage coming up, and we're going to be talking a lot about it coming up throughout the day on the Civic Media shows. Kicks off with Matt and Air on Air coming up right at the top of the hour. Join Jane and Greg from 10 to noon. A little bit later today, join us for Midday Magazine from 4 to 5. We've got a great lineup for you all week long. We kick things off strong. We got the CEO of the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry John's coming in.
All right.
We landed that interview, everybody. We got that one. But
I don't know how you got that one.
I'm telling you. Like, hard to get that
I've been trying to call
one.
Her for a long time.
Always looking forward to talking with Terry and talking United Way. And in part two, we get to meet Haley, 77th Allison Dairyland.
Oh, nice. That's right. That's awesome.
This will be their first time joining us, and we're going to fall in love with Wisconsin ginseng. Looking forward to that.
All right.
A little bit later today at 6 o'clock, after 5 to 6, we've got Playmakers. Randy Paul going to be joining us today.
Ooh, the elusive Randy Paul is going to be here. Nice.
Not only that, but Randy and I are going to be joined by Ken Porter and talk a little bit about the Sports Commission. We'll talk about that.
Oh, that's right. They got a big thing coming up this week.
Randy's got some local coverage for you as for us as well, and we will lead you in. We'll be your pregame for at 6 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Holy Cross.
Very good.
That'll be a good one right there. And want to remind everybody, we have a blood drive going on in our area tomorrow over at Grace Lutheran Church from 12:30 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. Keep that blood drive in mind, everybody. And Seth, just wrapping up, did want to mention to everyone about they get some great volunteer opportunities at the EDRC.
They do. It's a great way to serve. Meals on Wheels, of course, is one of the things, but they also serve the meals at the Centralia Center as well. Mm-hmm. They prep and get them. They always need volunteers for that. So go ahead and visit adrc-cw.org website. You can get more information there or call 888-486-9545, and they can get you set up.
Yeah, I encourage you to do that, everybody. It's one of the greater opportunities you'll have to put back in your community. Mm-hmm. If you've got a ton of leftover Halloween candy, here's a way to get rid of it. A program called Cash for Candy will pay $10 a pound for it.
Whoa.
And send it to the troops overseas.
There you go. Mm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. HealthyWage.com is where you can find out more about this. HealthyWage.com. Encourage you to do that, everybody. Mm-hmm. Great show today, you two. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you, James.
Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...